about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This could be arguably the most important day of your life. Don't be nervous. Don't be boring. And don't forget the words.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is a place where kids and families can come and kind of bounce around, but you need something, and I'm going to have everyone do it like a magic chant. All right, you guys ready? Because when we're talking inflatables, you need something that's been inflated. Are you guys ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Repeat after me. Abracadabra, 1, 2, 3.
Abracadabra, 1, 2, 3.
Now it's time to see what we see.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
And now.
Like, he wouldn't walk around with his penis up.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, Red Red New Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 12th of August.
Hey, you guys, how's it going?
Please, everything's fine with your mic now. You can talk it normal.
Just want to make sure it's not too loud.
Please stop doing that.
How they were saying earlier.
Had a problem.
Today?
Yeah. He had an issue. It was too loud, and then it was fixed.
Right.
Yet he decided to do an ASMR version the whole time I'm trying to do paperwork. How about now, Ellie? Is it okay now? It was a lot, and it was creepy, and I didn't enjoy it.
Ellie doesn't ask for a lot. It's a couple minutes.
Just normal voice.
Normal.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I wasn't, like, blowing out her ears or anything.
Please stop it.
Is this okay?
It's fine.
It's actually a little too loud.
Do you want to, like, slowly eat a cookie or, like, touch bubble wrap or something?
First, we're going to listen to the sound of my beer.
Oh. Ugh. Then I get beer mugs?
Yep.
Come on.
It's the sound of his beard. No one. I agreed.
How dare you?
No one.
What?
What is beer?
What is he doing now? What is it?
Oh,
I don't.
My God, what?
Think we need
I
that?
Don't, what is happening?
It's before 6 a.m., so we can play.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. That's just tapping.
Doesn't mean we have to laugh.
Oh, okay. Tapping what?
Tapping. Hey, party people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, what's happening?
How was everybody's weekend?
Good.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm all right. The least amount of sleep I've gotten so far.
All right.
Oh, good.
Babies.
So I'm delirious.
You only have a few more years of that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently,
Jensen's baby's exceptional, though, as far as being, like, quiet and playing along and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking 6 months, he's good.
He wasn't, like, crying, or he just needs to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs to survive.
Kids, huh?
Yeah. I have to keep him alive.
And Kevin and Allie are both on a worldwide soccer tour, apparently. That's happening.
Allie, you went to a soccer game?
I went to LAFC last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was rad. Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know. What was
How
your
did
soccer?
That happen?
Yeah.
I went to Portland.
Wow.
Took my daughter to watch the Portland Thorns, which is the women's league, and then also saw the Timbers.
The Thorns and the Timbers.
Uh-huh.
A lot of wood up there.
A lot of wood. Yes, there was.
Allie, tell us about the Falcon.
Oh, Eric Garcetti was the one. Every game, they release Ollie the Falcon and then let him fly around in a circle at these games. He's like their mascot, I guess. And I just remember hearing Will Ferrell in here explaining, like, how you're supposed to remain calm and the Falcon will just leave your arm. It's easy, right? This Falcon left Mayor Garcetti's arm, flew around once, flew around twice, and then the guy had something on a string where he was trying to, I don't know, slow him down or what it was.
Okay.
But he wound up nailing Ollie the Falcon. And so Ollie went lower and then went behind us to the section behind us and was, like, dive-bombing people in that section.
Fantastic.
And I was like, this is the greatest game ever. And my friend's like, no, I think it's because he got hit. I think something's wrong with Ollie.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Oh, that's not great.
That's not fantastic.
And then he just landed right by the guy he was supposed to. But I'm like, I don't think he was supposed to get hit with that big swing.
No, I would doubt that.
Yeah.
No,
nobody goes to a soccer game expecting to get hit with a Falcon, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's I do.
True.
To
you
be
do.
Honest. Yeah,
really?
That's why I haven't went. I need that to happen
that's
once,
fear.
And then I'll be there.
Yeah.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it
good
was
times.
Incredible.
What'd you do, B?
I had a lot going on this weekend. I had a, first of all, my mother-in-law's birthday party was yesterday.
Ah, you love that.
Which somehow ended up being at our house. Mm-hmm. But my wife did make a six-layer chocolate cake, though. So I was not mad at that. It was kind of worth sitting through everything else to get to that.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And we had a very promising visitor to the house on Saturday who may be buying it.
All right.
Wow.
So that's great news.
All right.
So fingers crossed.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. She said it was the most beautiful house she'd ever seen in her life.
Wow.
So that to me indicates that perhaps she's considering an offer. So,
this is the most beautiful house I've ever been to. I'm out.
I hate beauty.
So anyway, so fingers crossed that that works out.
Excellent.
Do we have time for a thing?
Sure.
I'll make it fast. This
You're going to have to make it fast, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do it kind of quick.
I'll make it fast.
Okay. Oh.
His name is Shai Wertz. He is the star quarterback at Georgia Southern University, and he was pulled over for speeding in South Carolina. He is a redshirt junior who is a sensation, by the way. He set passing records at GSU last year. He left his grandmother's apartment in Clinton, South Carolina for the nearly three-hour drive back to college when he was pulled over just after 9 p.m. on July 31st. According to the police report, he was clocked traveling at 80 miles an hour and did not immediately stop for officers. This is interesting, by the way, and this isn't even the point of the story, but he later told officers the reason he didn't pull over is he did not feel safe pulling over on a dark, remote road. I mean, if you're a black guy in South Carolina and the cops are behind you, I don't blame him for thinking about that.
Don't trust Whitey.
Thank you. He called 911 to say, here's what's going on. They're asking me to pull over, but I'm going to make it to a better lit town. I'm going to go to the town ahead and park someplace where other people can see me.
How far is the town ahead?
Doesn't say, but he says
6 hours. Just 6 hours.
He says to 911, I'm not going to pull over in a dark area where no one around can see. You know what's going on with the world. No offense to you, but I just didn't feel comfortable. So they pull him over. And they zero in on some white powder on the hood of his car, which the police officer immediately says, what's with all this cocaine on the hood of your car? Mm-hmm. Now, this to me is a curious conclusion to jump to.
Pretty quickly,
Because who smears cocaine?
Yeah, that's a waste.
All over the hood of his car.
No one.
Yeah, like, why would there be cocaine? And even if you had used the hood of your car to, you know, to take a bump or something, whatever's left is going to blow off in a when you're driving, right?
Yeah.
That seems like science,
Yeah, I would think sure. So they did the, they have, what do they call those? The devices that they use to test drugs. Mm-hmm. It's a field testing drug kit. And it came back as cocaine.
Whoa. What?
So they arrested him.
That is a terrible cocaine user.
They arrested him and put him in jail. The football player, Mr. Wertz, is like, look, it's bird poop. I'm telling you, I've tried to wash it off the car. All I did was smear it all over the hood. But I'm telling you, I've never used cocaine. It is just bird poop. And the police said, well, the bird inhaled a lot of cocaine then because it is cocaine. Well, he was, as you can imagine, he was suspended and he was not allowed to practice. He was banned from the season opening game while the case played out. And he got a call on Thursday while he was in a meeting with coaches and players from his attorney saying that the case had been dropped. It turned out to be a false positive.
Oh, are you kidding?
It was, in fact, bird poop.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Apparently, these field testing drug kits happen all the time, not only from officer errors with the way they're administered, but the weather can be a factor and poor lighting, which I don't understand. And as many as one in three tests come back wrong.
Okay. Maybe we need to stop those
tests? Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
I can't believe them? They'll make those decisions on one test.
Yes.
I feel like you would at least run it twice.
Yes. Great
That's
point.
Bizarre.
I would think so, too. Hmm. He, by the way, is handling this in a way that I would not expect. I would think that he would be suing or would be doing something these
days.
Killed
the cops?
Not that. His attorney said the quarterback has no plans to seek an apology even from the sheriff's department. They had a pretty credible basis for pursuing and ultimately stopping him. That is speeding, the attorney said. Then they didn't do anything wrong by attempting to collect evidence. It tested positive, so they were acting within the bounds of the law at the time. So he's kind of given him a pass on saying, look, it was just improper equipment. In effect, an ineffective drug test.
How off is that equipment? It's bird poop.
I know.
Versus cocaine. It's
yes. Exactly, Kevin. It's not even like it was something in the drug area.
Or are we supposed to be sniffing bird poop?
You know what?
I mean, plot twist.
Is that the new challenge? The new internet challenge?
Beer mug, get on that, would you?
I already have.
It's cheap. Don't have to pay a lot.
Cheap, cheap. Get it, because it's a bird.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Mind-blowing.
Right. Comedian Jimmy Pardo. Hmm.
He's my closest friend in show business.
Says Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy doesn't really back that, but okay. All right.
I mean, it's a little one way.
And by a little, you mean
he would.
When was the last time you saw him?
When he did April Foolishness.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Rejected!
That is a very close friend.
But before that, it had not been a long time.
I had never met him.
Right.
We're going to tell you about the latest Vegas singles party.
Uh-oh.
Coming up this morning.
This is... We're going to lose some people on that
trip. Good times.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to lose some people.
It's good times.
They better do a head count every 15 minutes on that bus.
I feel like they should all hold hands while walking, like, yes. Like elementary school kids.
Like the string.
Yeah.
No, guys. It's cool because Kevin's in charge.
Oh, right.
Right. That's what everyone should think.
Oh, God.
Who's the Dick? Brand new episode of that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And great news, because it's Monday. Plus, we're going to tell you how you can win an intimate show with Billie Eilish and 20 of your friends.
That's so cool. Wow.
And a 2019 Honda Fit.
This 20 greatest... friends get a car?
No. Just
no.
You get the car.
Uh-huh.
Friends get the concert.
Oh, that still works.
It still works, right?
That is a big prize.
It's a huge prize.
We'll take a 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
All right, Allie. What did we miss this weekend? Time for What's Happening.
Any of you see any movies this weekend?
Did not.
No.
Not technically
okay.
In the theater. No.
All right.
Bean usually sees 3 to 5
right.
Per weekend.
Okay.
But he had a lot of stuff going on.
I've basically just thrown my arms up in the air regarding going to a movie theater.
Yeah. Especially when you have a little one. Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited when they come to, you know, on demand. I catch a lot of them that way.
I feel like something cool was on the island this weekend, though.
Something cool was on... Oh, yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday's on the island right now. Yes, I've not seen that.
Okay, cool. Well, Hobbs and Shaw stayed ahead of the new releases and some holdovers at the box office with another $25 million in its second weekend. What?
Hmm?
That pushes the Fast and Furious spinoff to a 10-day domestic total of $108 million. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was the top new release that landed in second place with $20.8 million.
Take Adler to see that.
Yeah, sure.
Come on.
I would love it.
Yeah, he can't even open his eyes.
The Lion King added another $20 million for third place. Now a global total of $1.33 billion.
I hear it is the highest grossing animated movie of all time now.
Highest grossing release ever.
It's not.
$20 million and it's, what, fourth? Fifth week?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's doing pretty good, you guys. Doing pretty good. Dora and the Lost City of Gold opened to $17 million for fourth place. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came in fifth. It's now the first original film of 2019 to surpass $100 million domestically.
Oh, they make original films?
Well, not a lot. And
okay.
If they do, not a lot of people are seeing them because this is the first one to surpass $100 million domestically.
How about that?
How about that? Oh, Bean, I thought about you immediately. Less than a year after getting married... Might it be over for Miley Cyrus and Liam
Please don't
Hemsworth?
Don't bring this up so early. I'm not ready for it. I got to have some coffee first.
I legitimately
don't
mourned.
Even,
I mourned
don't
this
even,
weekend.
Stop saying that.
I'm not kidding.
You're
I was,
misusing the word legitimately.
I mourned.
I was sad. I'll let Allie explain why, but I was sad as if it was a friend that it happened to.
You should get actual friends. And then you'll realize the difference.
I'm telling you, you can root for people, Kevin.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation before. You can root for people.
Yes, but are you devastated when they break up? No.
Well,
unless you're a crazy person.
I'm telling you
you're
that
a crazy person.
If Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally broke up,
don't you dare.
Allie would not come to work.
Don't
I'm telling you
even
you,
put that out to the universe.
She would not be able to get dressed and leave her home if that happened because that's the kind of love we aspire to.
Well, there's
you don't have me. Any there's idea what kind of love there is there.
They've been together for a bit longer than Miley and Liam, I feel
who've
like.
Who have been together almost 11 years, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Not married
long.
Oh,
you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Yeah. They've been together 10 and a half years. So that's a legitimate relationship that I was very invested in.
Well, they have asked for everyone to please respect their process and their privacy. Their process and privacy apparently involves Miley in Italy with Brody Jenner's ex-wife, Caitlyn Carter, who now there's discussion, were they ever really married or not, Caitlyn Carter and Brody Jenner, but that's neither here nor there. Here's what's here and there. Cuddling, kissing. Yeah. Swimming by the pool.
Yeah.
Not trying to hide it at all. Hot girl summer. Right, Miley?
Oh, no.
So she's just, you know, sometimes when you separate, you go through it.
Sure.
She's just going through it with her friend, Caitlin.
This party is lit.
Bean.
Legitimately. Bean, she sounds like she's fine. What do you use that about?
Legitimately.
Because they've been through so much together. Mm-hmm. I mean, their house burned down in November, for instance, okay?
So which they don't have to split that up.
That's not the point.
Oh, okay.
The point is they've been on an emotional roller coaster. Uh-huh. And then they got married, and I thought, I'm so happy to see. They both seem like great kids, and I want to see them happy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this is just.
Maybe they're happiest now.
Miley sounds very happy right now.
Miley's doing good.
She's you either cry or laugh, and I think that's what she's doing. Is she's trying to figure out a way to put on a brave face.
A little more than laughing.
No, she's definitely boning her friend Caitlin, who is now seems more than a friend.
My point is, she's in a lot of pain, and this is her process. This is her process.
Okay, all right.
I'm very sad. Okay. It's amazing I came in today.
It really is. I didn't know. I was kind of kidding when I started the story about you being upset.
Of
but
no.
She's
no one in their right mind would actually be upset about this.
Bean is mourning more than Miley.
Really, Bean? Really?
Yes, really.
Right. Well, let's just wrap this up with some birthdays.
Okay. Some happier news, I hope.
Yeah. Yvette Nicole Brown, Cara Delevingne, Pete Sampras, Peter Krause, Julio Urias. Huh? Dodgers pitcher? Huh?
Well done.
Thank you. And perhaps you know him from this tune.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. And when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
That is Owl City.
That is Sir Mix-a-Lot. How dare you? Happy birthday, sir. And that's what's happening.
So we come back into work today here on a Monday, and there are two huge things going on at the same time. We just heard Billie Eilish. You want to go to KROQ.com to get all the details on how you can have an intimate performance with Billie and win a new car. We'll tell you more about that later. And the other thing, Kevin, involves you and a bunch of Kevin and Bean listeners on a party bus going to your favorite city in the whole world.
What are you with Vegas?
It's Kevin's party bus, the Vegas Singles Party.
We loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
Vegas, baby!
Fortunately, all that happened on a party bus, yes.
These party buses are a one-of-a-kind experience, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really fun.
I think majority have survived.
Sure. Although some people really pre-party too hard.
Uh-huh.
So they start drinking like way early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the bus. By the time you get to like Barstow, they're out.
They're done.
Pace yourselves.
That's great advice because by time you get to Nevada, half of the bus is sound asleep and the other half is either throwing up or trying not to.
So it's the Kevin Party Bus. You and three friends will join us in Vegas at our singles party. It's next weekend, a week from Friday, August 23rd and 24th. I'm sorry, 23rd to 25th.
Kevin already lost today.
Have you been on the bus?
here's a call from Muggs on a previous singles trip to Vegas.
It's Beer Mug, and I'm in the first night in Vegas, and I'm already lost $400. I hate gambling, man. But I love it.
Turn around.
I have some tape that I have not heard in years, but this is our former producer, Lightning, on a party bus to Las Vegas as well. And this will give you an idea of the tenor of the ride.
We're going to find the chick that threw up.
She's sick! She threw up!
Where is she?
Sucks!
Yeah, that's not...
Hold on. Is she still in there?
Yeah, the door's locked.
Am I standing? Oh, we're standing in it! Oh, that is disgusting.
Okay, so listen.
Are you trying to get people to sign up?
I would prefer not to be, quote, standing in it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If that's an option.
Like a man on the radio once said, pace yourself.
What you need to do is go to krock.com and upload a video of yourself, a minute or less, telling us why you want to party in Vegas. And by the way, we assume you like to party. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and leave that part out.
Yeah, we get it.
And you like to have fun. Mm-hmm. We get that. Mm-hmm.
And also what you're looking to get out of the trip. So just kind of sell yourself in a minute why you want to party in Vegas and what you're looking for to get out of the trip. Now,
so in other words, some people may be going for the gambling. Some people may be going for the hookup. Some people may be going to meet their forever partner.
Some people might be going to meet babies, as this guy says. We already have some applicants already. Mm-hmm. Tell me if William rubs you the wrong way.
Kevin and Bean, I need this Vegas trip so I could have a boys' weekend out looking for some hot babies in Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
Now hook me up with some tickets.
How do we feel
about that?
Is it a toilet baby?
I don't love hot babies.
No.
I don't either.
No.
I mean, I would see them at Lollapalooza. I don't think I want to hang out with Evan William.
Here's Jeanette, who's already entered.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jeanette in Bellflower. My friends and I are looking to come back with a 10 and a memorable weekend. We're always looking for Mr. Right. But since we're trying to close out our summer with a bang, Mr. Right now will be just fine.
Okay. Yeah, she's in, I think.
Right?
Yeah, she's already in.
That is the right attitude.
Yes.
That's the right attitude. You keep yourself open to whatever happens because you're going to Las Vegas with a bunch of K-Rock listeners.
I have two more. One is Ralph. And Ralph is in a bar recording this. And he's at a bar, most importantly, with his mom.
What?
Oh. Messages for Johnny Cantrell.
That's a beer mug.
I'm trying to meet you in Las Vegas. And I need to find me a pretty lady, according to my mother, because she wants me to find someone to marry. She's over here.
She's like looking like she's completely smashed.
Before you go on.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Jensen.
Yeah.
Allie.
Uh-huh.
Beer mug.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a bar with your mother?
No.
Ever.
No.
One
never
time.
Happened.
No, not in a million
never
years.
Happened.
No one even consider it. It's just a weird thing. But
it is.
But at least mom comes through on this video and helps sell it.
I'd actually leave a bar if my mom is there.
Yeah.
Cantrell, I'm trying to meet you in Las Vegas, and I need to find me a pretty lady, according to my mother, because she wants me to find someone to marry. She's over here. You're supposed to say something about me finding a wife.
Not only a pretty woman, but someone that's going to love him and respect
him. All right, she's drunk. Hit me up, y'all. I'll join you.
He's in.
I will accept him only if he comes with his mom.
He has to.
Because his mom seems like she's the partier. All right, so those are three examples of people who have already uploaded their videos. And finally, we always have to include a how not to.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Very helpful.
So this guy is literally, he's got his phone, maybe arm's length, maybe mm-hmm. he's videoing himself. Mm-hmm. And so that's baffling as to why it sounds like this.
When I meet this bright girl, I work for Maryland, I've been working way
Again, maybe 3 feet from the, phone.
Time for me to patio, then lose, get drunk in Vegas.
I'm ready to see the world with someone.
That's the only part you can hear. He's ready to see the world. We're not going to the world. We're going to Vegas.
Got a loose connection there. All right, so it's super easy to enter. It is next weekend, so make sure you're available to go next weekend. It is a two-night hotel stay with our friends at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Super fun. All you do is go to krock.com and upload a video of yourself, 1 minute or less, please. These are great examples that you've just provided mm-hmm. here, Kevin. Telling us why you want to party in Las Vegas on Kevin's Party Bus. By the way, pool party involved as well, I understand?
I believe pretty much everything.
Oh, yeah, so it's the whole Vegas experience. KRock.com is where you go to enter.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. Just got a tweet asking if we were going to go to Terry Bradshaw while we were in Vegas.
The live show, yes.
I doubt he's going to be there then because it's the football season.
Right.
But if by any chance he is.
And if so, you guys should bring a bag of mice and just let it go on the stage.
Oh, he'll take care of it.
No interview whatsoever. Just let him go.
Release him.
Our favorite features to do, and apparently one that you enjoy hearing, is called Great News. And we do it every Monday morning just after 7 a.m. So that is coming right up after Allie takes a look at what's happening here on this Monday.
Have you guys heard about this 30-meter telescope?
I'm not. This is the one in Hawaii that everybody's protesting?
Yes. It's a huge telescope that is being built on a site that indigenous Hawaiians believe is one of the most sacred sites on Earth. And there have been a lot of protests for years. But recently you've seen Jason Momoa there, The Rock, Bruno Mars, saying, we just don't want this here. Stop it. Well, Jason Momoa is not happy about it at all. And he's refusing to start work on Aquaman 2 until something is done. He wound up posting on Instagram from the site, sorry, Warner Brothers, we can't shoot Aquaman 2 because Jason got run over by a bulldozer trying to stop the desecration of his native land. This is not happening. We are not letting you do this anymore. Enough is enough. He's talking to the people that are doing that, not Warner Brothers.
Right.
But Warner Brothers has yet to release a statement on the matter, but Aquaman 2 is set for a December 2022 release.
But I better get right on it.
Right?
Feel like, yeah.
Run out of time.
A couple months left, yeah.
They should have already started.
There are, because the skies are so clear in Hawaii, mm-hmm. there are numerous huge telescopes there. It's like the best place on Earth, I think, to see the skies. So, I mean, it makes sense why they want to put it there, but it also makes sense that there must be someplace else they can move it that's not quite so contested.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
Okay, thank you, sir, for adding that. Impromptu song released on Friday by Lana Del Rey. Did you guys hear about this?
Did not.
It's in response to the recent string of mass shootings here in the U.S., and she said on her social media that proceeds will go towards survivor funds. Here's what she tweeted. Thinking of everyone this morning, we finished our song and just want to let all of you know my proceeds are going to Gilroy Garlic Festival Victims Relief Fund, El Paso Community Relief Fund, and Dayton Foundation. Here's a clip of her song, Looking for America.
I'm still looking for version of America, one without the gun, where the flag can freely fly. No bombs in the sky, only fireworks when you and I collide. It's just a dream I had in my mind.
First of all, I love her. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I love that.
She is a lovely human, you guys. Her album, of course, Norman Effing Rockwell, is due out at the end of this month. We also got to hear a version of Season of the Witch, which she recorded for Guillermo del Toro's new film, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So she's been busy, you mm-hmm. guys. Lana Del Rey, hopefully we will talk to her soon.
Yeah.
Guys, hear about Apple offering a $1 million reward to anyone who can hack an iPhone? This is all part of the company's newly expanded bug bounty program. Previously, it was like an invite-only thing where they would invite hackers to try and get through, and then they'd give them maybe about $200,000. Not a bad day,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But now they're doing it for the first time. They're opening it up, and the program will include all Apple platforms. The full $1 million will go to a hacker who can gain full control of an iPhone without the phone's owner interacting with it.
Hack!
Seriously, you guys. This has been increasingly popular among tech companies because you need to give people some financial incentive for them to tell you where the loopholes are, where the bugs are, before they release something to the public. So they don't want people exploiting them. They would rather pay you ahead of time to exploit them than they could
probably
close up those
loopholes.
Probably
cost them a lot more money if it was hacked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hack!
Yeah. Right.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Bean, we often talk about robots. You're into robots, especially a sex
certain
robot.
Kind.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to put it that way, but I mean,
a robot you have sex with.
I enjoy the technology mm-hmm. as it evolves. Yeah. Various things that a robot could do.
What about
that might replace a person?
Right.
Yep. Bean sexually attracted to you.
Bean, touch my peen.
Bean is okay with robots that can replace a person for sexual gratification.
Yeah, I mean, you said that, not me, but I'd like to hear more.
Bean, what about robots that will take over your job? Are you okay with that?
My brain hurts.
I mean,
what?
Look. robots have taken over millions of jobs in the world already. Mm-hmm. So what are you talking about? Something different?
Well, researchers from two universities in Europe have found that most people find the idea of workers being replaced by robots or software worse than if their jobs were taken over by other workers. Unless it's their own job. So they're bummed. Oh, gosh. Robots taking over.
In general.
But if a robot took over your job, it wouldn't be that bad. You want to know why? Because we have egos. And our self-worth would not be as bummed out if a robot took our job versus another human.
Really?
Isn't that so funny?
You can sort of explain it away and go, yeah, of course robots
are. Of course. We don't compare ourselves to a machine, but we compare ourselves with Timmy that could possibly do our job better. Timmy!
Right.
I just thought that was so interesting.
That is weird.
Does it seem like with all the AI, and we heard that example from that they did with the Rogan podcast recently, does it seem like our jobs are likely to be taken over by robots? I feel no.
Oh, I think no as well.
I think.
Wait, you mean
safe.
yours like and my job, radio guys?
Yeah. I don't think we're going to be taken over by robots.
Agreed.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on what you think Ryan Seacrest is.
That's a good point.
Or Nick Cannon, really.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good point.
Some birthdays for you guys. Yvette Nicole Brown, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Pete Sampras, Peter Krause, and Julio Urias. The Doyers.
In about 15 minutes, we'll tell you all about how you and 20 friends can have an intimate show with Billie Eilish and win a new car. Not only that, we'll get into the topic of the largest collections of things that you have. Turns out we've got some hoarders on this show, Kevin. I found out on Friday. So that'll be coming up. First, though, it was quite a weekend for bad news. You know, hashtag Clinton body count and all that. But we are ready to make you erase that from your memory as we bring you some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! Is it ever a good sign if you get an anonymous note on your door from a neighbor?
Nope.
Does anyone ever just leave you a note to say, hey, just wanted to make sure you're having a great day. I'm here next door. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you.
You know what? I appreciate living next to you.
Uh-huh. You're doing everything right.
It sure is a lot of fun. Yeah, if it's an anonymous note from a neighbor, it's generally like this one that happened to a woman in Pinson, Alabama. Neighbor, please take pride and straighten up the exterior of your house. Your eyesore is affecting the resale value of our homes. Who wants to buy a house near you and look at that daily? It does not take that much effort. All you have to do is just give an S. And here's my favorite part. Do better! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And there's no question, if you look at the video, Randa Ragland's home was a little unkempt. The yard had not been mowed in a while. The bushes were a little bit out of control. It did look like a place that was not being well taken care of. But the neighbor who left that note had no idea what was going on inside the home.
At first, I felt a little angry, but it was like, I didn't have the energy to be negative.
Instead, her focus has been on her family, especially her son, 3-year-old Jackson.
He's autistic and he's also nonverbal. But a few days before his third birthday is when he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma stage 4 cancer.
Okay, so wow, mom's going through a lot right now. And no wonder she doesn't have time to dwell on this note about her yard, right? She's spending all of her time going back and forth to hospitals and doctor's visits and everything else.
Ragland says Jackson has been hospitalized over 20 times and has had 7 surgeries. She wanted people to know, so she shared his story and the note on Facebook.
My whole point was to show people you never know. You don't know what somebody's going through. You know, kindness goes such a long way.
And as is always the case on these great news stories, once that got up on Facebook, the community could not have worked harder to help this woman. Automatically, landscaping companies showed up, people showed up, they brought groceries, people showed up to babysit, people showed up to do everything they could, including one man, by the way, who lost his own 6-year-old daughter to that same kind of cancer just a few weeks ago. And he said, wow, this is making me feel so much better, you know, because I'm doing this in memory of my little girl, Lulu. And I'm so happy to be able to help, you know, help Jackson out. And these people just came together like crazy. And I hope the neighbor was aware of that.
He put up another sign. Come on, let's pick it up.
Right? He's like, too many people here. What's going on with the parking?
Seriously. But what do we always say about great news? If you point people in the direction of where they can help, people are going to help. So this story does, in fact, have a happy ending. Fingers crossed for little Jackson that he's going to be okay. But the fact that the neighbors came through and helped them out, and this was a real step in the direction of help for a woman who really, really needed it. And that's my great news.
Mine is Peyton Madden, who is a kid in El Dorado, Kansas. And when he was three, he was diagnosed with a rare genetic disease called xeroderma pigmentosum. Sounds like a Harry Potter spell, but here's the mom explaining what it is.
XP is a rare genetic disease where a person's body doesn't heal from DNA. Like you and I, we go out in the sun, we get skin damage, our bodies are going to repair that in roughly 6 hours. For Peyton and other people with XP, their bodies don't repair that. So all of his sun damage is cumulative. 5 seconds here, 10 seconds there, adds up in the long run. He's not going to go out and play baseball, and he doesn't get to go and swim. And you see the birthday parties that he's not invited to because they don't know how to handle what he has.
Very difficult. And you see him in the...
I've never heard
it. I haven't either.
Maybe I have. Is this the one where you basically dress up like a beekeeper every time you go out?
Yeah, you have to wear a space suit.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
And he has to wear that to school, and of course and then they time it so that there is 30 minutes at the end of every day where the sun is low enough that it won't hurt him, but it's still kind of light.
Ugh.
And he just waits and waits and waits, and then he goes out for that 30 minutes and goes crazy. Well, the town of El Dorado got together, and they orchestrated a special day for Peyton, which they turned daytime into nighttime. And at night, they put up all these lights, and they had a pool party, and the whole town came out.
Awesome.
And it was a complete surprise to Peyton, who's pedaling his bike. He's trying to figure out why there's a marching band and what's happening. And he pulls up, and the whole city is there to have a daytime with him that he can participate in without wearing the beekeeper suit.
That's awesome.
Well, there are a lot of things that happen in El Dorado that happen during the day.
This is the mayor.
Playing outside, going to the pool, that Peyton doesn't always get to enjoy as much as the rest of us. So tonight is special because we're turning nighttime into day just for you.
Flipping day and night is an amazing idea. Peyton gets to be outside not wearing his gear. He's having a blast.
Tonight is something that he will remember for the rest of his life.
It makes me feel loved and appreciated.
I mean, I saw people from work, from church, from town. This is going to be life-changing for him to see a community come out and be interested in him.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
The whole community was out there throwing a big party, and he just turned around the corner, and there was the whole town lit up. It was amazing, and that's my great news.
Oh, we've often commented on the show, air travel, not real fun at all. It's super stressful. If you're running a little bit late, then TSA, oh my God, I can't get... It's just not a good time. Well, this will change your whole view of people on planes because this is so beautiful. And I want to thank listener Sandy for sending this to me. A man is being called a flight angel for comforting and helping out a 96-year-old woman who was traveling alone for the first time in decades. No. Again, not like that at all. Megan Ashley, who was a passenger on the Southwest Airlines flight from San Diego to Nashville on the 29th of July, took to Facebook to share the kind act. She explained that the elderly woman was flying to Kansas City to see her family for her birthday, but was terrified of flying. And luckily, the man next to her was happy to help her out. She asked for... Nope. Again, not perverted at all. She asked for the man's hand during takeoff and hugged him again when experiencing some turbulence. And
oh, yeah.
Nope. Just holding her hand, keeping her calm is what was happening. Explained everything that was going on and simply was just there for her. And that didn't end, you know, just as they were sitting there. Nope. He helped her stand. Nope. To get to the restroom, watched her as she carefully walked down the aisle. He helped her get her bag, helped her get off the plane, put her in a wheelchair. She got a little confused at one point, wondering where her daughter went. He stayed with her until the daughter, who got separated from her, could come back.
Are you ready to get sexy?
No, none of this is sexy. Pony involved.
What?
Just a lovely, lovely young man that was... Just comforting a...
That's a hell of a sound effect for something you could do yourself.
Comforting a stranger on a flight. So that's my great...
Get a free concert by Billie Eilish for you and 20 friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then,
that's amazing, by the way.
And then that's not enough. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you a 2019 Honda Fit.
What?
An actual car.
A car. Yes.
Summer means stickers here at K-Rock. And once again this year, we have a brand new limited edition K-Rock Billie Eilish sticker, which you can pick up for free at any SoCal Hot Topic location. And then we ask that you upload a selfie of you with your new K-Rock sticker on Instagram. Tag everybody. Use the hashtag K-Rock Billie, and you are entered. That's as simple as that. All you have to do is go to K-Rock.com for all the details. By the way, I just can't even imagine you and 20 friends at a Billie Eilish
that'd be pretty
performance.
Cool.
And then you drive there and back with your brand new 2019 Honda Fit. So this is one of the coolest prizes we've had in a long time. And again, all you have to do is go to any SoCal Hot Topic location to pick up your sticker. Then go to K-Rock.com for all the details on how to enter. All right. We have spoken many times on this program about how Jensen is, well, he's crazy when it comes to collecting Blu-rays and DVDs.
That he's not going to watch,
most of which are still sealed.
One day, watch it, yeah.
One day when you get a bad disease.
Yeah, polio, like polio, right? Or scurvy, any of those.
Yeah.
I have enough to watch is what I'm saying.
Jensen, wouldn't you imagine in Southern California, there are, I'm going to just say it, dozens, maybe 100 people who have more DVDs and Blu-rays than you do.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, you have how many? What number are you up to?
Well, I have this app on my phone, My Movies, that I catalog all of them on,
which is very smart because when you're shopping, it's nice to have a reference point to know what you already have.
Very much because I've repurchased things before not knowing.
You're a gigantic dork.
603 is what's listed in my collection, and then there's some that aren't in there, so I'd probably think about 625.
All right, 625. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about that before. And then we're talking on Friday during the show, and somehow baseball caps came up.
Yeah.
And Mug steps up and says what?
I have over 100, mostly Dodger hats and other hats, yeah.
But he casually goes, how many hats do you guys have? And I go, I don't know, I probably have like 30. And Allie says,
I have a lot,
yeah. But I don't know. And then he goes, I have 100 hats. And he just steps away.
Yep.
Yeah, 100.
100 baseball caps.
Most of them never even worn.
What?
What? How come?
I think most of them are like kind of like rare releases. Uh-huh. So I don't want to get my sweat and gook on them.
Yeah, because I mean, the resale market on hats is just killing it.
Through the roof.
Yeah, through the roof. People put their kids through college on hats.
Jensen, you kid, but there are some limited edition Dodger hats that people want their hands on.
What's your most prized one?
I would say the Father's Day Dodger hat of 2017. The light baby blue with the blue LA. That's a hot commodity.
Now, will you wear that?
No, I have not worn that, nor will I ever.
So you're getting in a glass box with lighting?
No, they're just up on my shelf.
Really protecting them for that reason. Yeah.
I'm not protecting
them. Keeping the dust off them.
I just give them a brush off once in a while.
Uh-huh.
So do you get no enjoyment from that hat?
I like looking at it.
Dork.
It's cool. It's cool.
Bigger dork.
All right. So then DJ Omar Khan steps up, and now we're starting to find out that almost everybody on this show collects something, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know how many compact discs I have. I've been collecting them since they became new. I have tens of thousands of them. You know, and like Jensen, a lot of them still unopened, okay? So Jensen's got his DVD, Blu-rays, mugs, you got your hats. DJ Omar Khan, you say what?
I collect Coca-Cola memorabilia.
Mm.
I have 300, 400 items. I don't know. I lost count.
Wow.
Everything ranging...
You should get an app like Jensen has. Yeah, I keep track of all of them.
Coca-Cola Hot Wheels, Coca-Cola Lamp, Coca-Cola... phone, a bunch of Coca-Cola, different bottles.
Some of us refer to it as just Coke.
Coke.
Yeah, but with that, with Omar, there could be a misunderstanding there.
That's a good point.
He says cola.
That's a good point.
One of my prized possessions is a 1940s Coca-Cola workerman's jumpsuit.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where does
it's
this awesome. Start? Like, yeah, how do you get into this?
This actually started as a joke. My friend in high school started collecting Pepsi products.
This is just a counter move?
Totally. And then it just took on a life of its own. Like, you know, everybody's like, oh, Omar collects Coke stuff. Like, they thought I was for real. And then I started enjoying it. So at Christmas, my birthday, everybody would just buy me Coca-Cola stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
Dumb question. Do you enjoy Coca-Cola?
Absolutely.
He's a Pepsi guy.
Cocaine.
Sure. Well, yeah. So, yeah. Less memorabilia for that, though.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a setup? Is it a special area?
So my wife was kind enough to give me the kitchen. So you walk into
the
my kitchen.
Kitchen?
Yeah, and I decked out my entire kitchen in Coca-Cola stuff. Yeah, I have Coca-Cola cookie jars, Coca-Cola... things where you put flour in and Coca-Cola.
Canisters.
Yeah, canisters and stuff. Yeah, everything's all decked out.
300 to 400 Coke items, though.
Maybe more. I don't know. I lost count.
Gosh.
And then I have stuff in storage because the wife was like, okay, that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah,
don't get crazy.
We get it, Omar.
Yeah.
We hadn't even given the phone number, but it is 1-800-520-1067. If you want to hear about your collections, if you have a surprising number of things, like Matt, who just emailed us, Dear Kevin and Bean, I have over 250 shot glasses.
Whoa.
Says Matt.
And
how about Dewey in Riverside? He's on line one already calling in. You won't believe how many of this item he has.
Hey, Dewey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. Well. Thank you. Your collection?
2,500 Hot Wheels.
Whoa.
2,500.
Now, I know that is a popular collectible around the world, but how many different Hot Wheels have there been?
There's been a lot. I don't collect the crazy stuff. I collect the cars that you would see on the roads, but there's so many different paint schemes, wheel combinations, and interior combinations that each one's worth value is different.
I've been
collecting since the early 90s.
Do you open them?
So half of them are open because I used to display them when I was younger, and the other half are still in their packages.
Wow. So you might have like 25 different Mini Coopers because they all look a little different.
Yeah, so there's one car that I have that's worth at least $150 because they only did one run of it, and there's a certain paint scheme. It's an old Mercury Cougar or something like that, and it's worth $150.
And what's the end game with your collection? I mean, what's your plan ultimately?
I'm going to pass them down to my son.
Your son's not going to win. Come on.
Yeah, he does. He collects his own now, right now.
Oh, I got you. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, so are you out there like every weekend looking for new releases to add to the collection?
Yeah, I visit a lot of Targets and Walmarts and whatnot to find those specific cars.
I'll bet eBay is your friend as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, Dewey, we'll have fun with that. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your collections that other people might say have gotten a little out of control. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, just out of Radiohead, let's talk to Sarah in Commerce. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Sarah, we're talking about collections that have, I don't know, maybe too many items in it. What's yours?
I know. Mine is black Santa Clauses. I just love collecting them. My friends and everything.
Hold on. Wait.
We thought you said black Santa Clauses.
Black Santa Clauses.
Like figurines?
Yes.
Where do you find
200 different black Santa Claus figurines?
Throughout the years, either I've bought them, my family members have bought them for me, or my friends.
Bean is not a fan of that. We found out Friday.
No, I'm very much a fan of that. And I believe the real Santa is black, just like Jesus. What do your friends and family think about this collection?
That's just Sarah being Sarah.
Oh, yeah, Black Santa Sarah. Yeah, everybody knows Black Santa Sarah.
Hey, surprise, yes.
If you could ever meet a guy who collects black Mrs. Clauses, can you imagine how perfect that would be?
What a relationship.
Good luck with that.
You'd be in heaven. All right, Sarah.
That would be a real Wakanda forever, huh?
I'm not saying it. Sarah, thank you for the call. By the way, how do we feel about Yvonne Fullerton 562? She has a collection of over 5,000 marbles.
She sounds single.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised if so many people on this show have collections. So many of our listeners do, too. But we're getting some fantastic calls and emails on this. How about this? From the 562, Matt in Norwalk. I have every Dodger bobblehead giveaway from the stadium.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That is over 120 bobbleheads.
That kicks your ass of hats.
That's, yeah.
Kicks your ass.
Now,
Holy crap.
Either he is eBaying it up or he goes to every game super early to make sure he's one of the first, you know, usually it's like 20,000 or something like that to get a bobblehead. All right, here's one that I think has got to be worth a ton of money.
Hold up.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
Okay.
Right. Okay.
From the 510, my husband has one of the largest collections of Doctor Strange comics and memorabilia in the world. He has thousands of items. It has its own storage center.
Storage center?
That's what it says.
Wow.
That, by the way, that's worth something.
I would think so.
When you get into that comic book memorabilia, I think that's worth, especially if it's a collection that big. All right, let's go to our friend John Elisa Viejo, line 3, please. We'll go through some more calls, 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, John. Hello,
morning,
John.
People.
Hi. Hello. Hey, what's up? What do you collect? How many?
I collect restaurant matchbooks, and I have probably 1,000 at least.
Wow. Is this from places you've all been to personally?
Yes. So I've got to go to, you know, I had a job where I had to actually travel globally. So I've got them from all over the world. So, you know, one of the prize ones is from Nobu restaurants. They have a Nobu in Tokyo where they had restaurant matchbook. The rest of the Nobus don't have them.
Oh, nice.
Because they're so it's kind of cool.
You have a big display cabinet or are they in a box?
I have a display cabinet that my wife has made actually 3 or 4 of them. But I also have them in one of these kind of candle hurricane holders. And people have commented, is that really smart you to have these in the house?
this could end a lot of collections of yours.
And the answer to that question is?
No. I don't tell my insurance agent.
Right. Good. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, enjoy those matchbooks. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Erica, line 5, please. You're Belinda. I don't think I've ever heard of this as a collection.
Hey, Erica.
Good morning, guys.
What you got?
I have about over 2,000 of those flat pennies that you can put in the machine and you turn the dial and it smashes the penny down.
Now, I'm just speaking for me, but I saw one of those once and that was the only time I ever needed to see it. I was over the excitement of seeing a pressed penny after the first one. Mm-hmm. What keeps you going back for more?
They're pressed, meaning they're flattened out.
You pay a dollar for this penny. That's amazing.
No, it's actually 50 cents to get your penny back. But it's for traveling. It imprints like this past weekend I was in San Francisco, so I have one of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
Okay.
So
every city you go to have them.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so yeah, it's like memorabilia from your travels. What's the what's the furthest away of a pressed penny that you have?
I'm trying to think. When I was a kid, probably Washington, D.C.
Okay.
All right.
What a traveling to the East Coast.
You guys remember
I've been to Europe. They're not really a thing in Europe.
Okay. All right. I don't think they're much of a thing here, but okay. You guys remember that Jeopardy contestant, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was so
super interesting.
Proud of himself.
Matt Masick is from Denver, Colorado. He and his wife plan day trips with a specific theme in mind, which is?
That's right. You know those penny smashing machines where you can make a souvenir and turn a crank? We decided to try to visit everyone within 100 miles of Denver, where we live. It took us all over the place, including to the top of Pike's Peak, where they actually have one, when we smashed a penny at 14,115 feet.
Okay, good for you.
Okay, good for you. Good for you.
It's a shame he's already married. That could have been Erica's soulmate.
Yeah.
From the 562, good morning. My name is Anthony from Paramount. I have a collection of over 200 empty weed jars and a little over 100 empty weed cartridges.
Don't applaud that. They're empty.
By the way, we didn't check with Muggs. I'm sure he has an equal number.
Sure. Yeah.
From the 818, Robert Woodland Hills, my wife has over 300 Pez dispensers. Whoa. We have full-on display cases of them. Pez is another popular collectible, I guess.
True.
Yeah,
true.
All right, let's try Scott Stanton, line 1, please. Up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You collect what and how many?
I collect Happy Meal toys, and I don't know how many I have. They're just in boxes.
You've never opened any of them?
Never opened any of them, except if I had doubles, because I did it for myself in the 80s, and then when I had kids, I had to get them for the kids.
Oh, my God. So Dad wants me to get another toy. I don't even want a kid's meal.
You have been collecting them since the 80s.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever gone on to eBay to find out if any of them are valuable now?
You know, I have not.
Don't worry.
I just have them... I just have them in boxes in their own special place as well that my wife has happily ordained as okay to have.
Huh.
There's got to be a couple that are worth money.
Yeah, I would think so, because they're all limited edition, every one of them.
I would think so, too.
And a lot of the people who ate a lot of the Happy Meals are dead now, just off pure food and fast food. So, like, their collections are probably just, like, on auction or whatever.
I'm surprised I'm not.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Quick reminder, brand new Kevin and Bean Singles Party is happening not this, but next weekend. Kevin's Party Bus takes you and three friends to Las Vegas for a two-night hotel stay at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. All you have to do is go to krock.com for all the details. We're just asking you to upload a little video of yourself and tell us why you want to be there, and then you'll be there. It's as simple as that, krock.com. Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Monday.
You guys enjoy a good beer?
Yeah!
Yeah,
sure. He didn't have to stand on the table.
Wow. An enthusiastic yes.
Quick. It's weird that he's beating his chest, but we get it. Mugs, you love some beer. Well, the Apartment Guide site recently released a report of the 10 best cities for beer lovers in the United States. These are the cities that have the most breweries per capita.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like running out the gate and getting those six-pack of Budweiser.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Before, I feel like it was always Portland, Oregon had the most brew pubs per capita, blah, blah, blah.
I was just there, and they sure do.
They have a ton, right? Not in the top 10, you guys.
Wow.
Not in the top 10. I found that shocking.
How about, I've heard Denver, Colorado is a good city for breweries.
There are two cities in Colorado, neither of which are Denver in the top 10.
Is one Golden?
Nope.
Wow.
How about Milwaukee?
No, I think when we think of breweries, I think maybe you're thinking big companies.
Well, still, I think if there's companies there, they should have breweries.
That would be one, though. Like, you're thinking...
Oh, so you're saying, like, little IPAs or whatever.
Exactly. Like, you're thinking of, you know, Budweiser. Oh, is St. Louis on there? Or I think it's now in Dubai or
Massachusetts.
Whatever. No.
I get it.
Thank you, Dean.
And I love it.
Needles.
Needles, Arizona?
Yeah,
okay,
Needles.
Nope, that's a strange choice. Just outside the top 10.
I have a legitimate guess. Seattle, Washington.
Seattle is not in the top 10.
Wow.
I mean, where are we here?
What the hell?
What are we doing?
None of them. San Antonio.
No, this
one. Come on!
Okay.
Kansas City.
Nope.
Salt Lake City.
Now we're just naming cities.
Albany.
Come on.
Albuquerque.
Tucson.
Perump.
Perump is a great guess.
Baton Rouge.
Number 10, Pensacola, Florida. Number 9, Fort Collins, Colorado. Number 8, Greenville, South Carolina. Number 7, Leesburg, Virginia.
And wait, this is cities that have lots of breweries.
Yeah, the number of breweries per 100,000 people.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
I'm with
number
that guy.
Number 6, Vista, California. Number 5, Boulder, Colorado. Number 4, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, come on!
Number 3, Kalamazoo. Bend, Oregon. If anyone had ever been like those seagulls that we hear right now to Portland, Maine, they would know a ton of breweries.
So super confused right now.
There are 26 breweries per 100,000 people, but coming in number 1 with 28 breweries per 100,000 people.
It's going to be Brump.
Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville? What are them, 10 people in one brewery?
How did you expect us to guess any of those, Allie? Honestly, where were we supposed to pull Asheville out of our butts? Come on.
I apologize.
That's garbage.
Here's the thing. A lot of beer festivals around the world, right?
That's baloney.
Wine festivals. I'm sorry. Judge Judy. But now, guess what the hip, cool thing is? Because
this is awful!
All of these spiked
seltzer. I'm not guessing anymore. You're not fooling
because
me,
Because of
right?
all the spiked seltzer, a new spiked seltzer festival will soon
blah,
be
blah,
happening.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's being called Fizz Fight. It's a one-day event, September 14th, and the brand White Claw is going to be hosting it. But they hope to bring it to Austin, Atlanta, L.A., Miami, New Orleans, San Diego, and Tucson in the future.
Shut up.
Guys, where do you keep your ketchup?
Oh, news story?
This is quite a hot news thing.
Wow.
Really running through these things.
Refrigerator?
That's unbelievable.
Okay.
Refrigerator right. is not...
I'm going to guess the trunk of my car. I mean, if this is another ridiculously bogus
Let
list.
Let me see remote.
In my back pocket.
Well, we all know Cardi B is known for speaking her mind on the internet. She talks about politics, talks about different rappers, everything. But she has sparked some controversy over her post about how if you keep ketchup in the fridge, you are not to be trusted.
Not to be trusted.
Which prompted people to take pictures of the back of a bottle of ketchup that said refrigerate after opening. And she's like, no, you keep it on the counter so it's nice and room temperature for your eggs in the morning. She does not refrigerate her ketchup.
Hmm.
Any of you?
100% you refrigerate your ketchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
Like, it's the law?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's recommended.
It's no, it's recommended by the manufacturer. Like you just said, it's on the back of the bottle. Put it in the fridge.
So you're arguing with Cardi B. You're putting yourself above Cardi B.
No, I'm not above. I'm just saying I disagree with her. I think she's misreading.
Kind of forever.
There are some things that you can get away with leaving out. Like, I'll leave butter out. I'm fine with leaving butter out. I don't think that has to go in the fridge.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Covered, you know.
Where do,
of course,
you put it?
Covered.
Where do you put it?
Just
are you recording from a buoy?
there are more seagulls than usual today.
Yeah.
No, just
he's just holding on to the buoy.
Just just like on a plate or something like that. But yeah, ketchup needs to go in the fridge. Mustard needs to go in the fridge. Mayonnaise needs to go in the fridge. Absolutely.
He's just kicking off seals, like trying to get them on the buoy.
So what are people saying to Cardi B? Just that she's crazy?
Who cares?
Agreed.
Talk more about it. On a buoy. Oh, gosh. All right. Some birthdays for you. Yvette Nicole Brown, Cara Delevingne, Pete Sampras, Peter Krause, Julio Arias, and Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Want to pull up tough because you know the
a national treasure.
Whites love that song.
And I think it was just last week we did Who's the Dick with Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we determined mostly that you were not the dick, didn't
well,
we?
Well, only that I determined that I was the dick early enough in the story to change it.
He saved himself, yeah.
He saved himself.
Dick adjacent.
I was a dick at one point in that story.
I think
when
we
I
did
was crazy.
I think the ruling was dick adjacent. That's true.
Yes.
All right, well, give me the reverb here because it's time once again for Kevin Amin's Who's the Dick? And this time, it's Jensen's story.
That's right.
Jensen. I rule Jensen is the dick.
Well, guys, a little early.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
A little early. Got to tell you the story first.
Right.
So here's the thing. I was leaving. I was walking my dog. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
And there's a lot of squirrels and rabbits in my neighborhood. And my dog, always, as all dogs, become very attracted to these things. So they race at them. And so there was a time I saw a squirrel in my driveway. Mm-hmm. And,
squirrel!
Brunch, my dog, started to pull.
Your dog's name is Brunch.
He's so white, I named him Brunch. Right. And the dog started to pull me towards a squirrel, and I was like, oh, let that squirrel be. And then I was like, oh, that squirrel is really chilling, like just sort of sitting there. Brunch didn't scare him at all. Mm-hmm. And so I got closer, and the squirrel is in perfect normal position, like like any squirrel, just on its feet, just sort of laying there. And I go, oh, that squirrel's dead. So I said, okay, I'll walk Brunch, and then I'll come back, and since it's on my driveway, I will clean it off my driveway. Mm-hmm. He's dead. So we come back, I put Brunch inside, and I look closer, and there's blood.
Oh.
The squirrel's in perfect condition. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's literally almost like cheesecake posing a little. Like, it's like he's in a perfect position.
Okay.
Like a senior photo.
Yes,
hands
like a
under the
yeah, like a squirrel
chin.
Senior photo.
And
that's
a weird,
wow.
That's a weird way to end up when you die.
Extremely.
Unless he just literally just died of organ failure, old age, and just like laid down.
While
and
taking a senior picture.
No, yeah. In other words, rather than some sort of a trauma or anything like that, it's
but
almost like
there's
he just.
Blood.
There's blood, but not on him at all, just around his like mouth area, like he coughed up blood.
Oh,
right.
God.
And it's startling, very, very startling.
Yeah. Poor dude.
It looked rough. So I go inside, I tell Danielle, and she goes, well, we don't really have, you know, maybe one of your shoe boxes, which is difficult for me to do. But I was like, you know what? It's a grave. Let's do it. So I go upstairs. I cannot do it. I physically can't.
You can't pick which shoebox to take.
No. I get the shoebox. I cannot take. The squirrel's too normal. It looks alive, right? It looks.
But you know it's not.
I don't know. I can't really tell why. Who dies like that? Who dies in normal position? And so I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's going to live. I don't want to pick him up. Danielle goes, why don't
Wait,
you?
Wait, you couldn't tell for sure he was dead?
Not really, no.
You didn't poke him?
No, that would be awful.
Well, if you poked him and all of a sudden he was like, oh, thanks for that, and he ran away.
Then that would be a happy
ending to
this story.
Feel the pulse in his neck? Nothing?
Guys, there was
blood. Did you give him mouth to mouth?
There was blood all around his body. It was like he was sacrificed by pagans.
Okay, I'm telling you he was dead, and I didn't even see him, and I could tell he was dead.
I assumed he was dead, but
devil
I thought
worshipping squirrels but, offered him up.
But also, to be honest, I was also chickening out a little. He was too normal. It was like I would have moved his body and it just didn't feel right.
So wait a second here. So if his head had been cut off, he would have been fine with going out and picking up the pieces.
Yeah,
but because he was in one piece, you couldn't deal.
Yes.
He was too normal.
This is weird, you guys. You're the dick.
No, well, hold on. Don't make a decision yet.
Okay.
And so I said to Danielle,
you go do it, honey.
Well, I thought about that. Instead, I go, you know what? I'm going to do it in the morning. Because then
just to give him a fighting chance?
Yeah, to give him a fighting chance. So I was like, I'm going to. And so I text my mom at the same time. And I go, Mom, she is coming over in the morning to help with the baby. And I go, do you have a shovel? And she goes,
wow.
A big shovel? I go, yeah, a big one. She goes, are we burying somebody? I said, no, I need it for the squirrel in the front. She goes, okay, no problem.
I like that that's your mom's guess, though.
Yeah, she figured we were going to kill Danielle or something. And my mom goes, why don't you leave out water in case he is alive? And that way he'll go to it when he wakes up. I go, no, I'm too tired. So I went to bed. I knew he was dead. Okay. And so
you knew he was dead. Then why are you pausing and waiting overnight?
I felt weird picking up what looked alive. He looked. I don't know.
You just said you knew it was dead.
I'd hope so.
He wanted to sleep on it.
Okay. And so I wake up in the morning and he's still there in the same pose, same senior photo. And
it's a hell of a nap he's taking.
And
right?
I go, you know what? Not now. I'll do it when I get home.
No, what?
Yeah, I'll do it when I get home. I'm too big. I got to get to work. It's 4 a.m. And so I get in the car, drive off, make sure not to run him over again. And my mom goes, okay, I'll see you in a little. I'll have the shovel. I go, great.
It's not what you want to hear from your mom ever.
Right.
I have the shovel.
My mom texts me and goes, just got to the house. We have the shovel. He's gone.
The squirrel's gone.
So I assume he's alive, or maybe I was right the whole time. But the truth is, I'm being told that he was most likely picked up by a bird. Right?
Oh, I see. Oh.
What do you mean you're being told by the other squirrels in the neighborhood?
Yeah. All the pagans. No.
He's got his ear to the street. He knows what's going on.
A lot of people are like, those things get picked up all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a food source at that point.
Yeah. So now here's a couple questions I have. One.
You're a complete baby. Is that a question?
I don't think that's up for
who's
debate.
Who's the baby?
I know that's true. I chickened out while trying to pick up a dead squirrel. But I wonder, did I now poison a bird?
Oh, because you think the squirrel may have died via poison rather than just old age.
He looked like the squirrel equivalent of like in a movie when a guy who's sick coughs into like a towel and leaves like a red mark. That's what it was like around him on the driveway.
Uranium, radiation
bad.
Poisoning.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Well, does somebody have poison out for the squirrels? I hope not.
I mean, wouldn't you think that there's like rat poison or something out in someone's yard that he
I would
like
guess
that
yeah.
could happen.
I
the odds
sure.
are likely
guess
that
so, yeah.
it's somewhere in the area. So I ask you, did I not only allow a squirrel to die in cold blood, like a Johnny Cash song about squirrels, or did I also poison a bird that came to pick him up?
Because you were too weak.
Correct. Too much of a chicken to pick up a.
I'm ready to rule on too weak. That's what we're ruling on, or no?
No, it's dick or not.
I mean, I we don't have any way of knowing that there was poison involved.
Correct. Well,
honestly, I think you could sleep at night not being convinced that you poisoned a bird who picked up the squirrel, because there's no real reason to suspect that he was poisoned. There are lots of things that could have gone
wrong.
His
little arm was tied off, though, and he had a needle in it.
He's a junkie squirrel.
He calls comedian Jimmy Pardo his closest friend in showbiz, and for the life of us, none of us...
Still on that buoy?
Ahoy, matey!
Oh, hello, Captain Bean!
None of us can figure that out, is what I was going to say at the end of that.
The waves are mighty rough today!
You'd think if I could do a radio show, I could get rescued, but here I am, still out on the sea. I'd be
broadcasting from a coconut!
I would say that is true. Jimmy is my closest friend in show business. So he'll be joining us coming up.
Two coconuts as headphones!
Right after 9 a.m.
Get away,
seagull! First, Ali is here with What's Happening on a Monday.
You know, I think we all kind of know those people that are in love with love. And sometimes they get engaged, and then for years they're engaged.
Right.
Then they break up the engagement. Then they move on to someone else. For years they're engaged. Then they don't get married for years. Like, that just happens with some people. Mm-hmm. I feel like Matt Bellamy was one of those people. Because he was engaged to a woman before Kate Hudson, an Italian psychologist. He was engaged to her for a couple years. Then they broke up. Then he was engaged to Kate Hudson about 3 years. Then they ended their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He has been engaged, our lovely Matt Bellamy from Muse, to his beautiful fiance, Elle Evans, for quite some time.
And you just assumed?
No, they got married over the weekend, you guys.
Oh.
They are married. And I will say this. Their wedding picture of them walking down the aisle. She is in a gorgeous dress, and he's in a tan suit, and they're smiling, and they look wonderful, and I've never been happier.
Now, let me make sure I understand, because this is kind of breaking news.
Yes.
You're telling me a musician married a model?
Yes.
Wow.
And a younger model.
Oh, my gosh. She is, quite an age difference,
She is 29. He is 41.
All right.
And they look beautiful. But they've been together since 2017. I don't think they were actually engaged all that long, as opposed to his other engagements. But congratulations to the happy couple.
Congratulations. We love Matt. We always wish him the best.
Blow your mind? That just happened.
So congrats.
I'm glad all relationships have stayed together.
Which brings me to this story.
No such thing as heartbreak in the world anymore.
That Bean said this morning just was debilitating to him.
Legitimately, for his words, legitimately devastated.
Yes.
Do not bring this up again, please. I'm barely getting by as it is. I'm just trying to hang on to the end of the show.
Less than a year after getting married, it might be over for Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
No!
They have separated. But Bean, they've been together a long time, right? They just got married this past year.
I'm still crying, Allie. I can't talk to you.
Okay, got it. So some might think, oh, well, what a short-lived relationship. No, they've been together, what, 11 years, Bean?
Yeah, close to it, yes.
Unbelievable.
And they just got married last year, and I am still processing.
I really am disappointed.
Did it help you process at all when you saw pictures of her in Italy with a woman named Caitlin Carter, who is Brody Jenner's now ex? Cuddling, kissing, swimming together in the pool, not really hiding their attraction to one another.
Everybody processes pain differently.
Uh-huh.
And she processes it in the arms of another woman. She's grieving.
Hello.
Okay.
The best way to get over someone else is to get under. How's that saying go? Is to get under someone else?
I just want you to work through it.
The best way to get over.
You what? Take that again?
Nope.
No, go ahead. You were almost there.
The best way to get over someone is to get under someone else.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like it.
He did it.
Well done.
I'm very sad
for
Liam and for Miley, because I think that they were a great couple, and it seemed like she finally found true love.
It seems like she's happy now as well, there, Bean.
Yeah, again, she's just acting out. She's just trying to she's masking the pain is what she's doing.
Who stands around their house hitting themselves with fish?
Oh, that sounds, new relationship.
So, guys, that's what's happening right there, and Bean is not real happy about it. But I get it. We have had discussions. Weird spit. We have had discussions that there are certain couples.
Hold on, I'm still crying.
All right.
All right, I'm ready to move on now.
That we would be bummed. Even though we don't know them, we know nothing about their relationships. Maybe they just have great social media together, or you've seen them in interviews together. You think, oh, they're perfect. Mm-hmm. I feel that way about Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman. If they were to break up, I think I would legitimately be like, oh, man, I did not see that coming.
Am I the only one that sort of doesn't, I realize I don't know anything about their personal lives, and I'm not that invested in any celebrity?
That's what I'm saying. I don't feel that way about most people. Even, like, friends of mine, I'd be like, oh, that's a bummer. They seemed happy. But there is something about certain celebrity couples that you're like, ugh.
Well, Allie, I think you and I both took it hard when Will Arnett and Amy Poehler broke up. For instance, we liked them together, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
That was a tough one.
Did Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn ever actually get married?
I don't believe so.
But their relationship is still great, though.
Yeah, that's one that would probably...
That would be devastating if they broke up.
But people used to say that about Jay-Z and Beyonce, and then we found out, you know, they have their troubles, too.
$1 billion in the elevator.
Yeah.
I want them to stay together, too, by the way. I'm totally rooting for them.
Well, hopefully you get a rescue boat to get you soon.
I know.
Is there any way that can stop?
Be able to follow pop culture from beyond the sea.
I'm short-term being,
yeah,
so
but you can close a window or something.
You can't really hear it on the radio, guys.
Bean. Okay, first of all, you're cutting out. But we have...
In your phones.
We can hear it anywhere. Anyone with a radio and
this
ears...
This is what Bean says every time. His dog's snoring and everything else.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Dave, the King of Mexico, if you're listening to the radio, are you
Dave,
hearing any seagulls?
Dave, the King of Mexico doesn't listen to the radio normally.
Are you hearing any seagulls, Dave?
See, he's not even listening.
Wait, hold on. Say it again, Dave.
I said I only have one channel in here, and I can't hear it, so there's that.
Okay, very helpful.
Thank you, Dave.
That was a pretty good backup you had there, B.
And by that, he means he has one channel, and he's listening to Big Boy.
So yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's the bummer right there. give us a call. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, seagulls. Jimmy Pardo is here, you guys.
Oh. Well, let's get out of this then. Happy birthday, Julio Arias, Yvette Nicole Brown, Cara Delevingne, Pete Sampras, Peter Krause. You guys, late info to me.
Oh.
He's one of our favorites. He plays Darius on Atlanta. He was in Get Out. Sorry to Bother You. I think we all first saw him in Short Term 12. Lakeith Stanfield.
Love.
Remember when he came here and he actually, speaking of seagulls, he was wearing a captain's hat?
Yep,
for
I do.
No reason.
That was pretty sweet.
And we were like, what's with the hat? I don't know.
He's amazing.
God, I love him so
much.
Wakanda
forever.
No!
Jimmy Pardo!
Hey!
Comedian and podcaster in studio with us here on the Kevin and Meester. You're a big music fan. You're down with the kids. I'm sure...
Is he down with the kids?
He's very much down with the kids. You're in love with the music of Billie Eilish, as the rest of us are, I assume. Right, Jimmy?
Of course. I mean, look, she's coming to the Hollywood Bowl. Right, isn't she? Or is that Lana Del
Rey?
That's Lana Del Rey.
Well, then Billie's playing somewhere, and she deserves to be.
But you have
that music should be heard a lot. Question is that, Bean?
But you have to, because this seems like the kind of album that Jimmy, and I know him so well, would love.
I think you're out of your skull.
Billie Eilish?
Yeah, it's no.
You think Jimmy Pardo wearing a Chicago shirt would be real into Billie Eilish?
I really do, because Jimmy appreciates a great pop song.
Hello, I do, kids. But it doesn't... I can't hear me.
Can't hear me.
All right, hang on. Let's sort him out here.
He's good.
He's sorted.
I can now hear me.
For a guy who does a podcast and uses headphones and a
It was all on
microphone.
Me.
Okay.
100% on
right,
me. I'm not blaming anybody in the room.
Okay.
You know what? Things were smoother when Chip was here. I'll say that.
Hey, no, watch yourself, Jimmy.
I mean, it was really smooth sailing those days. Never had any trouble.
That's true.
You're correct about that.
I hear you, Bean, but no.
No.
It's not for me.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's a great read, though, Bean.
Very interesting.
Great
thank
read.
You.
Yes,
I've been. Jimmy's in town this week, by the way, playing Feinstein's at Vitello's, which is in Studio City. That is going to be tomorrow night.
Great
tickets
meatballs.
Available now, eventbrite.com.
And falafel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound, it sounds...
Is that just a restaurant?
It is a restaurant,
it's
right?
It's Vitello's, a very famous Studio City.
Very good.
you may have heard of. It was in the news for a little while.
The Deaf Comedians?
About 20 years ago.
Was that the Robert Blake restaurant?
Listen, you brought it up. I didn't. I'm just, I was trying to sort around it. It is the Robert Blake restaurant, yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you the first act that, back since they closed it down?
No, I think Michael Feinstein has been there since before my arrival. No, I've actually done some stand-up there. They got a beautiful upstairs. It's basically a jazz club that... Wendy Liebman started doing some stand-up comedy shows there, and we reached out and said, hey, we're looking for somewhere new and interesting to do Never Not Funny Live, and I love the vibe of this. It was just upstairs at Fatello's, and then Michael Feinstein threw his name on it, and so I guess now we legally have to do adult contemporary jazz in the middle of our show?
Oh, well, okay.
I think we got to do...
You're the guy for that.
I'm the guy for that. You know that. You guys can read me musically.
That sounds like a very classy room to
play. Really classy, and it's not that big. It's only got 125 people, so... Even if it's half full, it seems full.
Sure.
I say
that's what you look for.
In advance of our ticket sales.
So what are you going to do, Jimmy? A little shadow of your smile? Or what do you think you're going to pull out?
I'm probably going to do, you know, in honor of my mother, who we lost about a year and a half ago, she and I danced, oddly enough. You know, the mother-son dance, mm-hmm. the father-daughter dance at a wedding. My mom and I danced to Michael Feinstein's version of Pure Imagination.
Oh, from Willy Wonka. Yeah,
from Willy Wonka. And he does a really great version of it.
He sure does.
And so I may break out into song and tears.
Oh,
so
dear.
Come out to that show.
That sounds fun.
Come out to that.
That sounds fun. That seems never not funny.
Yeah. It's on brand. Yeah. It's very on brand.
That is what you want. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Jimmy, we're always glad to have you.
Yeah.
We're delighted to see you. And we actually need your help on something today.
That sounds like you're wrapping it up. I thought you were cutting loose already.
Thanks for coming.
Always great to have you. Fine snacks tomorrow. Go see him. See if we can get through without sobbing. All right, go ahead. You need my assistance.
We absolutely do need your assistance. Allie, bring Jimmy and the audience late to this conversation up to speed on the Cardi B controversy that took over the internet this weekend.
Well, Cardi B wound up tweeting something along the lines of, people that put their ketchup in the fridge are not to be trusted.
What?
Yeah, that was our question.
And we were surprised by that because all of us put ketchup in the fridge because it says on the bottle, refrigerate after opening. Okay.
Yeah.
But then another listener brought up that you can go to any diner in
That's
this country and see ketchup sitting out on the table, not refrigerated. So what's the right thing to do?
We're going to you as for a ruling.
As well as stadiums. Like if you were to go, they have a condiment set up.
Yeah,
no,
true.
No ice or refrigeration. Right? Yeah.
And we never question that, do we?
No.
Never.
No.
Yet at home, if I walked into your home and you just had the ketchup out, I would go, look at this animal.
You're like, an animal.
Yeah. Why is he doing this? Yeah. I don't trust that yet. I go to Spilty Diner and go, well, the ketchup looks fresh. I'm great. Boy, oh boy, I can't be the arbiter on this.
So did Cardi B uncover the ugly underbelly of America here, that we've all been doing it wrong? Like, did we just buy into the man telling us we should put it in the fridge?
Our first reaction was just to doubt her, but now,
yeah,
maybe we're all wrong.
We're all, but we're not wrong about other, like, salad dressings. Is that the same deal? Although those seem to be on ice at restaurants.
I mean, a vinaigrette, you don't need to put it in the fridge.
What about a ranch or a honey mustard?
Well, yeah, I feel like if there's dairy involved, sure.
Thousand Island?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm out of my dressing. That was about it. Those were my top run.
It doesn't need to be.
It's just
right on the table. Here's what Bean brought up off the air.
Okay.
He doesn't keep his butter refrigerated.
That's disgusting.
Like old-timey. Like in the day, like my great-grandparents did.
But he doesn't have a refrigerator.
Oh, that was
a cooler.
That would do it.
He has a cooler with ice.
With just the ketchup and then just some ice in there?
I have a donkey that delivers chunks of ice.
Sure.
That makes sense. I don't refrigerate the butter. You know why? Because is there anything worse than trying to butter toast, which I have every day, and having that cold-ass butter? You want the butter to be room temperature.
I don't want
so
it to be referred
to
as ass butter, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll agree with Kevin on that. I also, you know, we just had this argument in my household with somebody. I forget who was in visiting, who said, "Where's the butter?" We said it's in the refrigerator. Oh, why don't you leave it out? And we went to say, "We're like, leave it out."
Yeah,
yeah.
What are you talking about? And then same deal, like as what Bean just said. Why do you want to deal with chiseling it off?
It is annoying when it's cold, but you could take it out a little bit before you eat. or something?
Yeah, but that doesn't, I mean, what is that?
It's not the same as room temperature. Yeah, exactly. And you can also try microwaving it, but then
you're getting ready for popcorn. Yeah, yeah, that's runny business.
All right, this may be an answer from thekitchen.com. Assistant producer Christine just looked this up on the ketchup. If you use ketchup often, as do restaurants and diners, just leave it out. Ketchup can be kept unrefrigerated for up to 1 month.
30 days. Oh,
okay. But if you don't think you'll finish the bottle in that time frame, it's best to keep it in the refrigerator.
I will not. We're about six months on a ketchup bottle at home, maybe?
Is that right?
And it's fine.
I don't know, Kevin. I don't know, journalist.
You said it as if.
I know. And you said it as if most important information you've heard all that.
It's fine. You've been good.
My reaction was bad. That's on me.
I love your reaction. That's on me. It was my favorite reaction, maybe in the history of coming on this show.
Jimmy, you also, I know you are a frequent, several times a season visitor to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
What's your condiment policy on a Dodger dog?
You cannot win with this. I'm telling you right now.
Tread lightly.
Okay. I'll just be honest. Okay. That seems to be the best policy here. Mm-hmm. I go ketchup, mustard, relish.
I agree.
And then just a sprinkling of onion because my stomach does not tolerate them well.
Allie was trying to high five Jimmy just now.
Hot dog purists that if you put ketchup anywhere near
dog, shut up, leave me alone.
Insanity, Matt Money Smith, if you're listening. Like, those people are cuckoo.
Well, I grew up in Chicago where, like, it's sacrilege to put ketchup on a mustard.
Sure. And
ketchup on a mustard?
Hmm?
Ketchup
sure,
on a
okay.
hot dog. So I don't care. What does it bother you what I put on my
Amen.
Hot dog? Mind your own GD business.
Whoa, strong words.
I'm so angry.
Strong words.
Is that right?
You like Billie Eilish, though, right? Billie Eilish.
Love her.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Feinstein's at Vitello's in Studio City. Someone killed a dude there once. You should go see Jimmy Pardo.
And now he's going to kill there.
Kill with the comedy sure. on stage.
Nope.
Tickets as cheap as $15 at podcast.com or eventbrite.com. Quick break, more with Jimmy Pardo right after this on K-Rock.
Comedian Jimmy Pardo is in the studio.
He sure the hell is.
Good morning.
Jimmy, question for you.
Yeah.
We were talking a couple weeks ago about a guest canceling on the Conan O'Brien show 20 minutes before he was due to be there. Who was the guest, Allie?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Kumail. Yeah.
It was Kumail who couldn't get away from Silicon Valley. He was taping, couldn't get away. So with 20 minutes left to go, no guest.
Right.
And Conan ended up interviewing his producer on the show.
His assistant.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently very, very funny. I was wondering, in the 7.5 years that you worked with Conan, if you ever had that experience where somebody dropped out, like, at the last second and people were running around like crazy people trying to fill the
spot.
Or
they use you. One time, I forget who the guest was, but they were maybe not going to make it, and I was going to go home. And Ashley was the talent person at the time, and she's like, Jimmy, stick around. I might need you to run out there and be the third guest or second guest. And then that person showed up, and it was a wah, wah. I don't make SAG and AFTRA money now. I thought that was really smart of him to use Sona. Instead of trying to book a comedian or somebody who then has the pressure to perform or this is a make or break interview, where Sona was like, it added to the, hey, that guy canceled, we didn't know what to do. I'll get my assistant, who is very charming and funny.
She is a delight.
She is, and I mean this sincerely, one of the kindest, nicest people I've ever met in my life.
I love her.
She's a really good person, yeah.
Do you like this new half-hour format that Conan's doing?
Sure. I'm not there anymore.
He hasn't seen it.
It's a step down from having Daddy in charge of getting that crowd ready. But,
he's doing the best with what he's got left.
They seem to be treading the water best they can without Pardo.
Jimmy, how come you can say Daddy in reference to yourself, but when Bean says it, it's very creepy?
I will tell you, when I say it, I'm glad you say that, because I think it's funny when I say it because it's ridiculous.
Right.
But when I hear somebody else say it, I go, oh, dude, you can't pull that off.
Right?
Like anybody.
You pulled
like,
it off. Bean, absolutely not.
That's not Bean's.
But
character.
He follows up Daddy with something like likey.
Well, yeah. In case you need a refresher, here it is.
Late night for Daddy.
Oh, no.
Right?
Right?
No.
Help us convince
It's like you're
him.
Talking to a kitty cat. Oh, it's late night for Kitty. No time for Mannix tonight, Mittens.
I do call it a kitty cat.
Yes? Yeah, Daddy? What do you need?
What does Daddy want? Daddy sounded like he had a question.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of questions, but I also don't want to monopolize all the time because everybody wants a piece of Jimmy Pardo.
Well, you know what's happening in our house, Daddy related, is that yes. I, humorously, for humor, mm-hmm. I refer to my wife as mother. And she
hates
it. Oh,
is it a Mike Pence joke, kind of?
It was pre-Mike Pence. And actually, the Mike Pence thing kind of took the wind out of my sails because I was doing it on stage. You know, when Mother and I go out and
Norman Bates.
It does. Yeah, like creepy and weird.
Super creepy.
And then Mike Pence made it even creepier and weirder. Sure. But I still do it around the house for comedy. Like, I'll go, who's ready to go for dinner? Mother, are you ready? And Oliver, my 11-year-old son, will go, Dad, you got to stop it. Nobody thinks it's funny.
And he doesn't realize that's all you want? At that moment, that's for his reaction.
That's all I want. But I want it to be joyous. So then I'll say father, and that is also unhappy. Like we're playing Scrabble.
Father's better than daddy, though. I got to be honest.
I'll say quickly, Oliver, come to father. Here's where it started. This is 100% true. This is why I started using it for humor. Oliver and I were at Target. That is a local department store.
Right? Okay.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And,
regional.
it is regional. And, there was a woman and her son, and the son was, in her opinion, dilly-dallying.
Right.
And she went, no business here for you. Follow mother. And I looked at Oliver, who might have been 6 at the time, and even he understood how insane that was.
And we just started cracking up. The Handmaid's Tale?
Right? No business here for you now. Follow mother.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know, right?
Jimmy, does Oliver think you're funny? And I ask that because, you know, at that age, a lot of times kids are already starting to turn on their parents.
Oh, luckily he does. In fact, I just brought him to the improv with me 2 weeks ago. Where was that? He's seen me warm up at Conan, which is a different animal.
Right.
But he saw me
back when the show was good.
Before this new nonsense without Pardo, exactly. Right. But he saw me do a set at the improv. And according to the staff, they said nobody was laughing harder than your son.
Is that right?
Oh,
that's sweet.
They said it was adorable. Adorable watching him back there crack up. And then when I got off, he's like, Dad, you know what line I liked was this one. And I was like, oh, that was an ad-lib. That was the first time I ever said it. He goes, oh, Dad, you got to keep that. That's a great line.
Oh, that's cool. And then he took another drink?
Then he got hammered. Well, it's a 2-drink minimum. We follow the rules.
Now, here's a nature versus nurture question then. Will Oliver grow up to be funny because he's grown up in your household, or is that something you kind of have to be kind of born with inherently?
Oh, I think he's very, very funny.
I hope he has two funny parents. It's got to be a handout.
Yeah, he's the spawn of two clowns.
Yeah.
I think he's got it. He's got the chops. Like, he'll say stuff around the house that he's got the cadence. And it might not necessarily be hysterical yet because he's 11.
Right.
But he's got the rhythm
He
of
understands
it.
The comedy.
Yeah, he does. And his favorite comedian is John Mulaney.
All right.
So you can't get better than that.
Yeah.
Even though his father in the house is a comedian.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
Are you a good dad?
I like to. I hope so.
Let's go to line four. We've got an Oliver.
I think I am. I do the best I can.
I bet you are.
Trying hard like everybody else. Just trying to do.
Why'd you ask that, Kevin? That's an awkward question.
I just wanted to know if he thought he was a good father. That's all.
I hope so. I mean, I always. He is the sweetest, kindest, most polite little boy, and he gets complimented wherever he goes. Like, your son is so polite. He's so polite, and I always say, well, I'm on the road.
So
it's his mother. Yeah,
yeah.
But and she gets mad at me because she's like, you're underselling yourself. You know, you're a big part of this. And,
would you encourage him if he wanted to go into show business, Jimmy?
You know, we just had this conversation somewhere. It's like, if you don't encourage him, aren't you kind of making him be unhappy with life?
And you're almost pushing him more towards it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I really hope he does anything but this. But if this is what he wants to do.
What was your parents' reaction to you going in the comedy room?
Oh, my mom was 100% behind it. And my stepdad was. My actual dad was very, very hesitant and skeptical. And mm-hmm. he kept on saying, what's plan B? What's the fallback? And one time I asked to borrow money to take acting classes, and I said, Dad, I want to borrow money to take a class. And I didn't even say what. He goes, yes, take a class. I go, I said, well, it's for an acting class. Yeah, and he already committed to the yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, all right, we'll see how that goes, too. But then he came out to visit me here, and he saw the hard work that we put into what we do, you mm-hmm. know, with getting on stage every night or going to auditions and being told no and coming back and preparing for another audition. He's like, I had no idea how much you guys work. You know, I'm really impressed. And as time has gone on.
Yeah.
Now, that said, my dad always saw me early on. He saw me bomb. Every time he'd come, almost like a kid trying to impress his dad.
Yeah.
I would bomb. Like, my mom and stepdad would come, and I would kill. And my dad would come, and I mean, I would chew it so hard that, in fact, one time my grandfather.
And then he would say, father doesn't like that.
Oh, father, no business here for you. Follow father. Into the family business. My grandfather, Salvador Pardo, was at the show one time, and one of my cousins said to him, what do you think, Gramps? Is he getting better? And he went, nope, he's just not funny.
Okay.
And you said, have you seen the title of my podcast, for God's sake?
I'm never not.
And you outlive that old man anyway, right? So you got the last laugh.
You're damn right. He's in the ground now.
And you're still here.
He did a type five at the funeral. Funny now, Grandpa?
You like this now, Salvador?
They were very good people. I want to be clear in case any family's listening.
We got to leave it there.
Goodbye.
Another plug for tomorrow night. Jimmy Feinstein's at Fatello's. It sounds very, very fun. It's Studio City.
It's Never Not Funny live. And with our guest, of course, it's me and Matt Belknap and Elliot and Garen, the usual cast. And then Jen Kirkman is our guest.
Fantastic. Oh, she's great. Delightful.
Love her, too.
Yeah.
That is going to be so much fun. Podcast.com or Eventbrite.com if you want to buy those tickets on sale now. Just $15. It's tomorrow night in the Valley. Let's hear it for the great Jimmy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening on this Monday?
A lot of people writing about a movie that nobody really knew existed. The Post, Page Six, writing about this movie. It was Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire. They made an indie back in the mid-90s before they were household names.
Gosh, I love movies.
They ad-libbed the whole film, which has been banned from ever being shown in Canada.
Love it.
It's dubbed Don's Plum, and Page Six says it was shot over 6 days and tells the story of a group of 20-something guys who get together at an L.A. diner with a new girl every weekend. DiCaprio plays Rude Derek, whose standout lines are, "Do you girls masturbate at all? And I'll effing throw a bottle at your face, you goddamn whore."
Wow.
And
is this a documentary?
Well, the pair are reportedly afraid that while they didn't portray themselves, viewers would associate them with the character's behavior.
How was this movie killed at the time?
I don't know.
Was every existing copy destroyed? How is this never leaked?
I don't know. All of a sudden, everybody's writing about this film.
And this is during the Pea Posse days.
Yes, they were known as the... Yeah. Pea Posse back then. Skirt chasing party boys back then in the 90s. So all I know is I've never wanted to see a movie more than Don's Plum.
No kidding.
It's just that simple. I mean, DiCaprio and Maguire.
That's crazy.
Known as big improvers.
And by the way, Leonardo DiCaprio's current girlfriend is 22. And this movie, his girlfriend was 22, probably when this movie was made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, she aged out decades ago, for
right.
sure. Yeah.
Racketeering, pimping, money laundering,
what?
Loan sharking, pimp.
I don't know about any of that, but again, I haven't seen the movie. Nobody has. You guys, you want to see a Baywatch documentary?
No.
Baywatch, the documentary, is going to dive into the cultural impact of the long-running show that ran from 1989 to 2001, then adapted into a 2017 movie starring Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson and Zac Efron. They've already got David Hasselhoff, Nicole Eggert, David Chokichi, Alexander Paul.
Oh, how'd they get all them?
Gina Lee Nolan, Jason Simmons, Jeremy Jackson.
Oh, geez.
They were all available for this?
They are all confirmed to participate. No word yet on Pamela Anderson or Carmen Electra. Kind of two that
Seems
you would
important.
Hope to be in there. Absolutely. They would like to begin production this month or next. But are we demanding
no.
a documentary on the cultural impact of Baywatch?
I gotta tell you, though, it was the number one show in the world for a lot of years.
Well, Germans love David Hasselhoff.
Sure.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
This is a mess.
Bean, any interest?
No.
Okay, cool. You know, we always...
And I'll watch a documentary on anything, I'm out on this.
You really will. We always say things whenever there's something horrible that happens in the news. We feel like we don't know how to help. You feel helpless. You feel lost. Well, this is about two different singers that have done pretty amazing things. The first, Lady Gaga. She has promised to fund all project needs
in 162 classrooms in El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio, and Gilroy, California.
Good for you.
To help the communities devastated by the mass shootings. Her charitable organization called the Born This Way Foundation is partnering with DonorsChoose.org, and they're arranging funding aid for all those classrooms, which is unbelievable, you guys. And she said she just wants to channel her confusion, frustration, and fury into hope.
That's an incredible bit.
No, that's an amazing, amazing woman.
Yep.
Next up is Lana Del Rey, who released a song on Friday in response to the recent string of mass shootings. And she wound up tweeting, "Thinking of everyone this morning, we finished our song and just want to let you know all of my proceeds are going to Gilroy Garlic Festival Victims Relief Fund.
Obviously.
El Paso Community Relief Fund. And
obviously.
I mean, at any point, like, these are two great stories. Maybe we don't need the sound bites taking away from them.
Obviously.
And the Dayton Foundation. And she released this song on Friday. And here's Looking for America.
I'm still looking for my own version of America. One without the gun, where the flag can freely fly.
Nice.
So that's fantastic.
All proceeds going to those funds, which is amazing. Of course, her album Norman Effing Rockwell is due out at the end of the month. And she also released Season of the Witch, a cover that she recorded for Guillermo del Toro's new film that just came out, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
That's also very good.
Yeah. Doing the right things, you guys.
That's sad.
Any of you any good at hacking?
Nope. Why would you ask that? Maybe you're
good at
hacking.
I think I'm good at getting hacked. I think I'm good at that.
I feel like Kevin just spoke volumes in that, what he just said.
Please, do I strike you as a hacker?
I feel like you could be. I mean, think about it. You'd never suspect him.
Because I've created this dumb guy character on the radio, which, by the way, I'm putting in air quotes, and I don't know why I think you can see
it. Nobody can see it. Yeah. Well,
here's what people don't know about Kevin and why we find it hard to believe he's a hacker. He gets locked out of his own email like four times a month.
Multiple times
that's
a month,
ridiculous.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Five, six, easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime you hear Kevin yell from the corner, because he's corner boy, that's where he sits. Hey, can you ask Dave what my password is? We know he's locked out again.
I'm not a smart guy.
Listen. Well, Apple is offering a $1 million reward to anyone who can hack an iPhone.
Hack!
That is part of the company's newly expanded bug bounty program. Previously, the program was invite-only. Highest reward was $200,000. But for the first time, it's going to include all Apple platforms. And the full $1 million will go to a hacker who can gain full control of an iPhone without the phone's owner interacting with it.
I don't know a lot about business, but he did an internet, and now the computers like him, and Wall Street is Google.
She's in charge of everything, you guys, that woman right there. But this is something that they do before they release a new version of something.
A lot of companies
they
do
have
this, yeah.
A lot of people just try and hack it, and then they work out those bugs so people can't do it, and then they waste a ton of money once it's already released. But $1 million.
Yeah, it's something.
That's a good chunk of change, you guys.
You could look it up on the internet. It's up there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
It is, yeah.
Okay, excellent.
It's www.facebook.com.
All right.
/ R and then all one word, R O T R K R O Q.
Okay.
That's www.facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
He is killing the internet right now.
Okay. I think we got it. You guys need that website one more time? Or are you good?
Good.
Okay.
Well,
one more time?
Maybe one more time.
Oh, no, I got to find it.
It's all right.
Yes, fine.
www.
Okay, thank you.
Dot Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Facebook.
.com.
Okay, right, .com. Okay, good.
/.
Mm-hmm.
R, and then all one word. Oh, R-O-T-R. K-R-O-Q.
Were they all one
okay,
word?
I got word? Is that part of the address?
Dot
now you're talking...
Facebook.
Okay.
Dot com uh-huh. slash R-O-T-R-K-R-O-Q.
If you agree with me, go to Joe30330 and help me in this fight.
Okay. I think we got it.
Yep.
Got it. Some birthdays for you guys. Lakeith Stanfield.
Hey.
Yvette Nicole Brown. Cara Delevingne. Pete Sampras. Peter Krause. Julio Urias. And one of the greatest rappers of all time for white people, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. That when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough because you notice that...
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. In your drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's. You know, when you get proposed to, sometimes people hide the ring. That doesn't always work out.
I see. It seems like there's a lot of that going on. Yeah. Everything has to be a production now. It can't just be, hey, open a box and I'll put it on your finger.
Yeah, well,
that's worth a couple right? things.
Also, we're doing Kevin's Party Bus to Vegas. It's a singles party. You can go to krock.com and upload your video if you'd like to join us. And comedian Joel McHale will join us in studio tomorrow.